Happy holidays, America. You've all been told a real famous cat all dressed up in a red. He spends a whole year down in a sled. He's a little Saint Nick. He's a little Saint Nick. Just a little black slappy cop of Saint Nick. She walks up to bag him with the buffy stick. She candy apple head with the ski pole wheel. We say the hits the cash man. Watch him peel. He's a little Saint Nick.
Wishing you Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Joyous Kwanzaa. Have a nice whatever it is that you want to have a nice time doing. For the holidays are a cheerful time, but they are also a time for charity and self-reflection. We must ask ourselves, are we treating our fellow man as we ought? For in these times of discord, the golden rule is paramount. Thus, I am happy to present to you the Punk News Podcast Holiday Special. And this year, we have quite a tale to tell. A tale of a man who sits behind a desk all day and all night, thinking of nothing but himself, doing nothing but spewing hatred and meanness out into the world. A man of misery, but a man who lovingly embraces that misery. Perhaps this is familiar to some of you. Punk News Podcast listeners, I am proud to present to you Punk News Christmas Carol.
Jacob Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatsoever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, and the undertaker. Also, Adam White signed it, and Adam White's name was as good upon exchange for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. And being dead, what was left of Punk News was now solely in the hands of managing editor Adam White, who was working away on his accounting books on Christmas Eve. All the while, the Punk News staffers slaved away on what should be the happiest and most joyous day of the year. But of course, Adam White, managing editor of Punk News, would have none of that silly nonsense.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah! Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that, I am sure.
I do.
Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason do you have to be merry? You're poor enough. You're dumb enough. You don't have any Ramones album after Road to Ruin.
Come then. What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough.
Bah! Humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer, a time for balancing your books, a time for paying forgotten fees on Discogs? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be forced to watch Greg Ginn's Black Flag, then boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle!
Nephew, keep Christmas your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it.
Leave me alone, then. Much good it may do you, much good it has ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, Christmas among the rest. But I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come round, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of in the long calendar of the year, when men and women seem to be one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely, to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave, to get off the internet, to stop trolling bands that are just trying to play some music, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, and although it has never sent me a promo record, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
Hear, 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 hear.
Let me hear another sound from you and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. You're quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder if you don't become a 924 Gilman member.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
The day I die and see myself in a cold, dark grave will come the more sooner, nephew.
But why? Why?
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. Good afternoon.
Nay, Uncle, but you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why cannot we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I am sorry, with all my heart, to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I have been a party, but I have made the trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
A Merry Christmas, Ricky, and God bless your good wife and family.
Thank you, sir, and a Happy New Year to you also.
There's another fellow, my clerk, with 15 shillings a week and a wife and a family talking about Merry Christmas. Bah, humbug, I'll retire to Bedlam.
Ah, yes, this must be the Pungu's Hovercraft office, run by White and Marley, I believe. Now, have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Adam White or Mr. Jacob Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Well, then, we have no doubts about his liberality is well represented by his living partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. White, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute, for they suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of the common necessities, food, water, housing, clothing, craft beers. Hundreds of thousands are in want of the common comforts, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Well, there's plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
Well, they are, but I wish I could say that they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law, they're in full vigor then?
Both are very busy, sir, yes.
Oh, good. I was afraid from what you had said at first that something had occurred to stop them all in their useful course, so I'm very glad to hear it.
Well, under the impression that they scarcely furnish cheer of mind or body to the multitude, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth this Christmas time. We choose this time because it is a time, of all others, when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What should I put you down for?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, you wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you asked me what I wish, gentlemen, that's my answer. I don't make myself merry at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, and those that are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and they would rather die.
If they would rather die, then they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good day to you, Mr. White.
And as the charity collector walked out the door, there was a young caroler standing just outside the Punk News Hovercraft office.
Get out of here, you poser!
Having dispatched the caroler, Adam White returned to his desk, where he buried his nose with Punk News business, updating news stories, checking reviews, setting tables, and scanning for typos until the day wound down till its end. Ricky, seeing that the lights had gone low, meekly approached Adam White's desk.
Shall I close up now, sir?
I suppose the cost of electricity is up, and I have no desire to waste valuable money. Don't clear your throat around me. Be here tomorrow at 8 a.m.
But, sir, tomorrow's Christmas.
And what of it?
It's customary for one to have off from work on Christmas Day, sir.
It was also once custom to hawk loogies on bands as they performed live. Do you propose that too was a good idea?
But, sir, none of the other websites will be open tomorrow. We'll have no news to break, no reviews to run. No readers to outrage.
It's not convenient and it's not fair. If I were to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used. I'll be bound, and yet you think me ill-used. Then I pay a day's wages for no work.
It is but once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose if you must have the whole day, then be here all earlier the next morning.
I will, sir. Thank you. A Merry Christmas, sir.
Bah humbug, I tell you. Bah humbug.
And with that, Adam White left the Punk News Hovercraft office, and he made his nightly trek through the streets on his way home, passing by the denizens of the city.
Pinches pennies, his heart is painted black. If you send to the devil send him back. Adam White. No one likes Adam White. No one needs Adam White. No one wants Adam White. No one loves Adam White. What a jerk puts us to work, never gives us cash. If I saw him walking down the stairway, I'd kick him in his ass. Blocked from every webpage, banned from every site. The only place that takes him is the blue and white. Adam White. No one likes Adam White. No one needs Adam White. No one wants Adam White. No one loves Adam White.
gave my band 2 stars.
He said we sound like OAR.
He called me a sellout.
He says we ripped off No Doubt.
He's a real mean guy, don't ask me why. He has to be so cruel. His hateful eyes make babies cry. Man, that guy's a tool. He always pinches pennies. His heart is painted black. You send him to the devil, then the devil send him back. Adam White. Ooh, Adam White. Oh, Adam White. Oh, Adam White. Oh, Adam White.
Adam White. Adam White made it to his front door, and as he reached for the skeleton key, quite a queer feeling came over him. The door knocker, which resembled a lion's face in the classic Greek style, seemed to contort to a most grotesque image, and yet, as Adam White jolted back, the contorted face, now in the door knocker, seemed to howl Adam White's name.
Adam White.
Though he was overcome with fear, Adam White took pause and collected himself. And lo, when he re-examined the lock, it was as it should be, unchanged and quite silent. Adam White admonished himself for his perceived skittishness.
Bah! Humbug!
Adam White let himself into his house and began his nightly preparations. After dressing down to his nightgown, he prepared for himself a meal of bland gruel. Though Adam White could easily afford a steak dinner every night, he took no joy from such decadence, thinking only of the money wasted on such indulgences, and he preferred to dine upon the cheapest sustenance there was. Adam sat down in his chair to eat his meal, illuminated by the light of a single candle, and as he dined, he thought he heard a bump come from his front door.
Huh?
Yet there was no answer. Adam resumed his meal, and again he heard that thump in the night, though this time it was louder.
Ahoy, hoy!
Still no answer was forthcoming, and Adam White cursed himself for such superstition. His meal was now quite cold, and he took to finishing the wet gruel, when yet again a third bump resounded through Adam White's bedchamber, louder and more violent than before.
I say, who goes there? Who? Who goes there, I say?
Suddenly, the door burst open and a horrid thing appeared in the room, illuminated by a sickening white light. It drifted about the room like it was wood adrift at sea. The apparition's face was grotesque and marked with the utter horror and despair of hopelessness. And from his chest and limbs and neck hung dozens and dozens of massive chains, each linked to an iron coin box that clanged and banged and dragged about the room.
Adam White! You!
How now? What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who were you then? You're particular for a shade.
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Ha!
You don't believe in me?
I believe you as much as I believe news of a Jawbreaker reunion.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Then why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of underdone potato. There's more gravy than grave about you. Mercy! Dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do, I must, but why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit does not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander the world, oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share and might have shared on earth. And turn to happiness. Oh.
You're fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, yard by yard, snarky review by snarky review. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil that you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Jacob, old Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give you. It comes from other regions, Adam White, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. Very little more is all permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond the hovercraft office. Mark me! In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of 3 chords in the so-called truth. And weary journeys lie before me.
Well, you must have been very slow about it, Jacob.
Slow?
7 years dead and traveling all the time?
The whole time. No rest, no peace. The incessant torture of remorse. The incessant torture of what could have been. Incessant torture of that time I gave a record 2 stars. When it really deserved 3.5. Oh, captive, bound, and double-ironed. No space of regret can make amends for one's life's opportunity misused. Yet such was I, oh, such was I. I have grown strange, slow, and old.
But you were always such a good man of internet news and reviews, Jacob.
News? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. Oh... At this time of the rolling year, I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light would have conducted me? Oh, hear me. My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard upon me. Don't be flowery, Jacob.
How is it that I appear before you in a shape that you can see? I may not tell. I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day. That there is no light part of my penance. But I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. A chance and hope of my procuring Adam White.
You were always a good friend to me. Thank you.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is that the chance and hope you mentioned, Jacob?
It is.
I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path that I tread. Expect the first tonight when the bell tolls 10.
Good night. Can I just take them all at once? You know, have it over. Jacob, come on.
Expect a second at 11 bells. The third when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more, Adam. And look that for your own sake. You remember what has passed between us. Remember, Adam. Remember!
And as suddenly as he appeared, Jacob Marley faded into nothingness, leaving Adam White alone in his bedchamber, a single candle illuminating the room.
No, that was
not but a dream. A dream. Tomorrow I shall wake and everything shall all be as it should be.
And so Adam White drifted into a stilted, dreamless sleep.
Ah! 10 o'clock in the evening. The clock must be wrong. An icicle must have gotten into the works. 10? Why, it isn't possible. I haven't slept a single wink. Ah! Spirit! Are you the spirit? The specter? Whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Before Adam was a shade, who looked as but a youth, though she spoke with the grace of nobility. Her hair was dyed green, and her clothes were covered with all sorts of well-worn images. Hearts broken in two, Jack Skellington patches, the Green Day logo written on the back of her jacket.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of podcast past.
Long past?
No, you're past.
But spirit, you look to have no more than 14 years.
Be not deceived by your eyes, Adam White. Though my garments are of Hot Topic, I've existed from a time before the mall was ever constructed, from a time before vinyl was a commodity, from a time before Green Day sucked.
I believe I would rather have your countenance extinguished from my presence.
What?
What is your concern, then, for me?
Your welfare.
Well, thank you for your concern, but I think a nigh of unbroken rest will be more conducive to that end, dear spirit.
Your reclamation, then. Take heed, rise, walk with me.
I am immortal and liable to fall.
Bear but the touch of my hand there, and ye shall be upheld in more than this.
And with that faint touch, Adam White was lifted by aid of the spirit of podcast past, and the pair soared over the city. As with a dove, they flew over houses and churches and beyond the city itself. Higher and higher they went, until it seemed as though they would sail into the sun itself. When suddenly, Adam White found himself standing in a room that was quite familiar to him.
Good heavens, I was schooled in this place. I was a boy here.
You recollect the way?
Remember it. I could walk it blindfold.
Strange, you have forgotten it for so many years. Let us go on.
And as Adam White looked on, three schoolboys ran directly in front of him.
Tim, Gregory, and oh, my good friend William. Hello.
These are but shadows of things that have been. They have no consciousness of us.
I'll get you with a snowball, Gregory.
I'll bet your Christmas pudding you cannot, Tim.
Come on, we'll be last to catch the coach home for Christmas.
And as the boys ran off down the path, they leave a fourth young fellow alone in the corner, silent and addressed by none.
Tell me, Adam White, do you know that lonesome lad over there by himself, not yet 10, yet besieged by loneliness and melancholy?
No. Blimey.
I ask you again, Adam White, who is that boy?
Spirit, that is me, as a youth. Poor boy, I wish, but it's too late now.
What is the matter?
Nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have given him something, that's all.
Let us see another Christmas.
And with those words, the room seemed to grow faint and blurry around Adam White until he stood in that same room with the spirit, though a number of years had passed in but moments.
The school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, sitting at his desk, alone, is left there still.
I know.
And as young Adam White was alone in his solitude, a sprite young girl rushed into the room.
Dear, dear brother, I've come to bring you home, dear brother. Bring you home, home, home.
Home, little fan?
Yes, home for good and all. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be that home is like heaven. He spoke so gently to me one night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home. And he said, yes, you should. And he sent me in a coach to bring you, and you're to be a man. And you are never to come back here. But first, we'll be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in all the world.
You are quite a woman, little fan.
Come, Adam.
Always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered, but she has a large heart.
So she had. You're right. I will not gainsay it, spirit. God forbid.
She died a woman and had, as I think, children.
One child.
True. Your nephew.
Yes.
Come, let us see another place that you know.
Those words are a salve to my ears, kind spirit.
And yet again, the room grew and swelled and folded. But now, Adam White found himself like he should have been.
You know this place?
No, I was an apprentice here.
Why, it's old Fezziwig, bless his heart. It's Fezziwig, alive again.
Yo-ho there, Adam White!
Why, there I am, just at the beginning of my career. Oh, how my leather jacket is so fresh and sharp.
Yo-ho, my boy! No more work tonight. Christmas Eve! Christmas! Adam White! Let's have the shop closed up before a man can say Jack Grisham.
Close up shop, my dear Fezziwig. But I have books yet to balance. And have you seen the cost of this party? Surely the budget will not allow such extravagance.
Hilly-ho! Clear away, my lad, and let's have lots of room here! Hilly-ho! Cheer up, Adam White!
Oh, Fezziwig, he was a wonderful master.
Wonderful, you say?
Most certainly. Just look at the celebration he has thrown.
A small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude.
Small?
Why, is it not? He spent but a few pounds of your mortal money. Three, or four, perhaps. Is that so much that he deserves this praise?
It isn't that. It isn't that, spirit. He is the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. Say that his power lies in words and looks and things so slight and insignificant that it is impossible to add them and count them up. What then? The happiness he gives is quite as great as it could cost a fortune.
What is the matter?
Nothing particular.
Something, I think?
No. I should like to be able to say a word or two to my news editor, Ricky, just now. That's all.
My time grows short. Quick!
And again, the room did change. But now, Adam White found himself standing outside by a shimmering pond. Snow covered the ground, and now Adam White, older but a few years, stood before a comely young woman, yet her eyes were beginning to fill with tears.
It matters a little. To you, very little. Another idol has displaced me, and if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol has displaced you?
One made of HTML and gossip, one of hits and views, one of blue and white and a steady, humming warmth.
This is the requirements of the world, Belle. The world needs to have the punk-related news made public, what albums are to be released, what tours will come in the spring, what bands have broken up? What sandwiches are there to be eaten? The world requires these things to be posted.
You fear the world too much. All your other hopes have merged into the hope of being beyond the chance of its sordid reproach. I've seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until a master passion, website management, engrosses you. Have I not?
What then? Even if I have grown so much wiser, what then? I'm not changed towards you. Am I?
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both ignorant of the internet and content to be so until, in a good season, we could improve our worldly fortune by our patient industry. You are changed. When it was made, you were another man.
I was a boy.
Your own feeling tells you you are not what you are. I am. That which promised happiness when we were one in heart is fraught with misery now that we are two. How often and how nearly I have thought of this, I will not say. It is enough that I have thought of it and can release you.
Have I ever sought release?
In words, no. Never.
In what, then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in another atmosphere of life, another hope as its great end, in everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. If this has never been between us, tell me, would you seek me out and try to win me now? Huh, no.
You think not?
Heaven knows. When I learned a truth like this, I know how strong and irresistible it must be. But if you were free today, tomorrow, yesterday, can I even believe that you would choose a girl that doesn't care for the Ramones, only the Spice Girls and Christina Aguilera? You, in your very confidence in her, weigh everything by page hits, or choosing her. If for a moment you were false enough to your one guiding principle to do so, do I not know your repentance and regret would surely follow? I do, and I release you. with a full heart, for the love of him you once were. You may, well, the memory of what is past helps make me hope you will, have pain in this. A very, very brief time, and you will dismiss the recollection of it, gladly. As an unprofitable dream from which it happened, well, that you awoke. May you be happy in the life that you've chosen.
And with that, Belle fled from Adam White, never to see him again, leaving him standing alone before the great Punk News Hovercraft office.
And standing in front of the great Punk News Hovercraft office, Adam White looked across the street to see a lone troubadour singing a quiet, lonely, solemn song.
Spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
I told you, these were shadows of things that have been, that they are what they are, so don't blame me.
Remove me. I cannot bear it. Leave me. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
And thusly, Adam White, pleading and full of misery, found himself back in his old bedchamber, wrapped in covers, exhausted in the dark and alone.
Oh, was it but a nightmare?
And so Adam White's eyes did shut, entering a deep, calm, waveless, swaying sleep.
Come here and know me better, man. I said come here and know me better, man.
Ah!
I am the ghost of podcast present. Look upon me. You have never seen the likes of me before.
Ah!
And thusly, Adam White found himself standing before a most strange shade. He was large and bearded. He was swathed in flannel. Around his head was a garland of wristbands, and everywhere upon everywhere was stacked cases and cases of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Have you never walked forth with any of my previous brothers, man?
I don't think I have. I'm afraid I have not. Have you had many brothers, Spirit?
More than 300!
A tremendous family to provide for, Spirit. Conduct me where you will.
I went forth and have learned a lesson which is working now. Tonight, if you have aught to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe.
And with but a touch, Adam White, standing next to the mighty spear of Podcast Present, was transported into the middle of a crowded street. And there were people passing by, paying nary a blink to the odd pair. And Adam White found himself standing before a tiny abode, and he did peer through the window to see a mother baking a joyful, if small, Christmas dinner, aided by her bright children.
What has ever got your precious father, then, and your brother, Tiny Tom? And Martha wasn't as late last Christmas Day by half an hour.
Here I am, Mother. Here she is, Mother.
Why, bless your heart alive, my dear. How late you are.
We did a deal of work to finish up last night and had to clear away this morning, Mother.
Well, never mind. Sit down by the fire, my dear.
Oh, look, there's Father coming.
Hide, Martha, hide.
And with that, Ricky entered the happy apartment, carrying Tiny Tom on his shoulders.
Why? Where's Martha?
Not coming?
Not coming? Not coming upon Christmas Day?
Here I am, Father. I can't let them tease you, sir.
And how did little Tom behave?
As good as gold and better. Somehow he gets thoughtful, sitting by himself so much, and thinks the strangest things you've ever heard. He told me, coming home, that he hoped the people in the circle pit saw him, because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to them to remember that anything is possible. Tom is really getting to be much stronger and hearty, isn't he, my dear?
I wish it so.
Tom, sit down by the fire!
Patricia, Belinda, bring Master Peter and fetch the goose.
Spirit, this household, they have so little. I see nary a test press on the wall, and yet there is such joy in this home, despite the scarcity. They bicker not at all.
Why, but of course! Adam White, have you not heard the song of Christmas goodwill and love?
I must confess, Spirit, I have not.
Well then, by all means, I shall sing it to you, fellow.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with Hef. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with you. Where is Santa at his sleigh? Tell me, why is it always this way? Where's Rudolph? Where's Blitzen, baby? Merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas. All the children are tucked in their beds. Cherub fairies dancing in their heads. Snowball fighting, it's so exciting, baby. I love you and you love me, and that's the way it's got to be. I loved you from the start, 'cause Christmas ain't the time for breaking each other's hearts. Santa at his sleigh, tell me, why is it always this way? Where is Rudolph? Where is Blitzen, baby? Merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas. All the children are tucked in their beds. Sugar plum fairies dancing in their heads. Snowball fighting, it's so exciting, baby. I love you and you love me, and that's the way it's got to be. I loved you from the start, 'cause Christmas ain't the time for breaking each other's hearts. Merry Christmas, I don't wanna fight tonight with. Merry Christmas, I don't wanna fight tonight with. Merry Christmas, I don't wanna fight tonight with you.
Spirit, that was beautiful. I moved to my very core.
Be not distracted, Adam White. Look into the home. The feast is about to begin.
And thusly, the family brought out a Christmas goose, and Adam White could tell by their faces that such a feast was a rare event in the Tricky Ricky household, doubtlessly.
There never was such a goose.
Hooray, what a pigeon. I mean, what a goose.
Oh, and such a wonderful pudding.
Yes, Mother, oh yes.
A toast, a Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me, if Tiny Tom will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future,
the child will die.
Oh, no. Oh, no, kind spirit, say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race will find him here. What then? If he be like to die, he had better to do it and decrease the surplus population.
Dear.
Without a word, the spirit of Podcast Present then shifted the surroundings around Adam White, and Adam White found himself standing in the parlor of his nephew, Greg, where an amiable party was commencing.
He said that Christmas was a humbug, as I live. He believed it, too.
More shame for him, Fred.
He's a comical old fellow, that's the truth, and not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offenses carry their own punishment, and I have nothing against him.
I'm sure he's very rich, Fred. At least you always tell me so.
What of that, my dear? His wealth is of no use to him. He doesn't do any good with it. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it. He hasn't the satisfaction of thinking that he is ever going to benefit us with it.
I have no patience with him.
Oh, I have. I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always. What joy does he gain by being mean and snarky in the comments section? Is he truly happy when he demeans another's hard work? Here, he takes it into his head to dislike us, and he won't come and dine with us. What's the consequence?
Oh, such words from my nephew. They cut me, spirit. As I see must now, you have grown old, so very old.
Ah, yes, 'tis true, 'tis true. My time on this earth is very short, a mere hour and 10 minutes. And maybe an hour 30 if people are really long-winded. Remember me, Adam White. Remember me and know me better, man.
Adam White looked around and found himself back in his bed. Covered in sweat, he did but fall asleep, his countenance depleted. No thoughts swam through his head, no issue clouded his mind, but heavy, heavy, heavy sleep.
Oh dear me.
Standing before Adam White was a ghastly thing. Towering above him, shrouded in black, a smelly robe held together with anarcho patches. It smelt of wet dog. It said nothing as its black robes swayed in the wind, and most terrifying of all, where there should have been a face, was nothing but an infinite black void.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of podcasts yet to come? You're about to show me shadows of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, spirit? Ghost of podcast future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen, but I know your presence, your purpose is to do me good. And so I hope to live to be another man from what I was. I am prepared to bear you company, and I do it with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me?
The spirit of podcast future said nothing. It merely extended an outstretched, crooked finger.
Lead on. The night is waning fast, and it is precious to me. I know. Lead on, spirit.
And soon Adam White, shadowed by that voiceless spirit, found himself standing in Town Square, where a circle of businessmen are sharing the morning's news.
No, I don't know much about it. Either way, I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Why, what was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die.
Who knows?
What has he done with his record collection?
I haven't heard. He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know. It's likely to be a very cheap funeral. For upon my life, I don't know anybody to go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer?
I don't mind going if lunch is provided. That is, specifically, a sandwich.
If there is any person in town who feels emotion caused by this man's death, show that person to me, Spirit. I beseech you.
And so the specter led Adam White down a darkened street corner, and there was a small, dingy record shop.
Bert, what about these? I built for this record collection, or did?
Miss Torpin, stealing from a dead man, eh? What's gotten into you?
The Constantine's record was still warm from the needle.
I don't pay extra for warmth, you know.
Well, why not? It's the only warmth he ever had.
And so, the spirit led Adam White back to a place that had recently become familiar to him, the home of Tricky Ricky.
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them.
The color hurts my eyes.
The color? Oh, poor Tiny Tom.
They're better now again. It makes them weak by candlelight. And I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home for the world. It must be near his time.
Past it, rather. But I think he has walked a little slower than he used to these last few evenings, at least, Mother.
I have known him to walk with. I've known him to walk with Tiny Tom upon his shoulders. Very fast indeed.
And so have I, often.
But he was very light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble, no trouble. And there is your father at the door.
Good evening, my dears.
Don't mind it, Father. Don't be grieved.
Little Tom is at rest now. Everything will be done long before Sunday.
Sunday? You went today.
Yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on a Sunday. My little, little child. My little child.
Oh, Ricky.
I saw Mr. Adam White's nephew, Greg, today. I've scarcely seen him but once. He inquired as to why I look just a little down. On which, for he is the pleasantest spoken gentleman you have ever heard. I am heartily sorry for it, Mr. Franklin, he said, and heartily sorry for your good wife. If I can be of service to you in any way, he said, giving me his card, that's where I live. Pray to come to me. Now, it wasn't for the sake of anything he might be able to do for us, so much as for his kind way, that this was quite delightful. It really seemed as if he had known our Tiny Tom.
I'm sure he's a good soul.
It's just as likely as not one of these days, though there's plenty of time for that, my dear. But however and whenever we part from one another, I'm sure none of us will forget Tiny Tom, or this first parting that there was among us. And I know, my dears, that when we recollect how patient and how mild he was, although he was a little child, we shall not quarrel easily among ourselves and forget poor Tiny Tom in doing it.
Spectre, something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. I knew it, but I know not how. Tell me what man who was deceased and who had been spoken of in such horrible fashion. Tell me, what of him?
Still wordlessly, the spirit of podcast future led Adam White along a long, dark, quiet path that led to a dreary, decaying cemetery. The spirit then slowly raised his hand and unfurled his long, crooked finger, pointing at a decrepit, mud-covered, unkempt, uncared tombstone.
Before I draw nearer to that stone to which you point, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be? Or are they the shadows of things that may be only? Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends of to which, if preserved, and they must lead, but but if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me. Am I that man who lay upon the bed? I shall see for myself. I shall clear this headstone and see the name written on its face. No, spirit, no! My name is written upon the stone. This is a wretched, forgotten grave, and it is my own. Spirit, speak to me. Speak to me. Spirit, hear me. I'm not the man I was. I will not be the man that I must have been. Why show me this if I'm past all hope? Good spirit, assure me that I may yet change these shadows that you have shown me by an altered life. Things can be changed, spirit, they can. And I will change them. I will honor Christmas in my heart, and I will try to keep it all year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me, I may sponge away the writing on this stone. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. No! 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 What? Huh? I'm back in my own bedchamber. The spirit, it's gone, and yet they're here. I'm here. The shadows of all the things that would have been may be dispelled. They will be. I know they will. I don't know what to do. I'm light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to the world. Hello there. Whoop. Hello. There's the door by which the ghost of Jacob Marley entered. There's the corner where the ghost of Podcast Present stood. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened. I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Woo! Hello! Hello there!
Overcome with joy, Adam White rushed to his window and threw it open.
You there, boy!
Who? Me, sir?
What's today?
Eh?
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day!
It's Christmas Day! I haven't missed it! The spirits have done it all in one night! They can do anything they'd like! Of course they can! Of course they can! Hello, my fine fellow!
Hello!
Do you know the poulterers in the next street at the corner?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy, a remarkable boy! Do you know whether they sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the big one.
What, the one as big as me?
What a delightful boy! It's a pleasure to talk for him. Yes, my buck!
It's hanging there now.
Is it? Go and buy it.
You're playing a joke on me.
No, I am earnest. Go and buy it, and tell them to bring it here, that I may give them the direction of where to take it. Come back with the man, and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, I'll give you half a crown. I'll send it to Ricky's. He shan't know who sends it. It is twice the size of Tiny Tom.
Turkey here. I got a turkey.
Here comes the turkey. Hello. Look. How are you? Merry Christmas. It's impossible to carry that to Camden Town. You must catch a cab.
Why, thank you.
Adam White rushed over to his nephew's house for a greeting.
Why, bless my soul. Who's that?
It's I, your uncle, Adam White. I've come to dinner. Will you let me in, Greg?
Why, yes, dear uncle. Why, yes.
After dinner, how about a game of yes and no?
And the next morning, Adam White was back at the Punk News Hovercraft office when Ricky Frankel entered some 30 minutes late.
Hello, what do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
You are, yes. I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you please.
It's only once a year, sir. I shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Now, I'll tell you what, my friend. I am not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I am about to raise your salary.
What?
A Merry Christmas, Ricky. A Merrier Christmas, Ricky. My good fellow, that I have given you in many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. And we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, Ricky. Make up the fires and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Ricky.
Adam White was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tom, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good as a man as the good old city ever knew, or as good as any old city ever knew. Some people laughed to see this alteration in him, but he let them laugh. He had no further encounters with spirits, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed such knowledge. May that be truly said of all of us. And so, Tiny Tom observed.
God bless us, everyone.
You know, I'm so happy I feel like singing a song.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year, everybody.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Hello, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and nice you get here. Oh, by God, we have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Have a great 2017. That's all.
And thus, our tale is concluded. As you can see, Adam White did change and learn to embrace kindness and charity, and his life was that much better for it. Thank you for listening, Punk News Podcast listeners. This is CJ Ramon. Good tidings to you all. May you have a happy new year and a great 2017. This special starred John Gentile as himself, Adam White as himself, Ricky Frankel as himself, Greg Simpson as Fred, Kara Wisneski as the spirit of podcast past, as well as Scott Heisel as the spirit of podcast present.
Hi, this is Dominic Davi, the bass player for Tsunami Bomb, and I play Jacob Marley. Happy holidays!
This is Lynn Lee of Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and I played the parts of Belle and Mrs. Toppin. Have a wonderful and happy Festivus.
Hi, this is Brian McGee from Cloud United. I play the young Adam White. Happy holidays, everyone.
This is Kate of Tsunami Bomb playing Fan. Happy holidays, guys.
I'm Jenny of Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and I played Patricia. Happy holidays.
I'm Stacy D of Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and I played Martha. Merry Christmas and happy all that stuff.
And introducing Samantha Barrett as Ms. Frankel. This has been a production of the Punk News Podcast. Songs featured on the special included Little Saint Nick by Crazy in the Brains, Baby Please Come Home by Cassie Ramone, Adam White, He's a Real Mean Guy, performed by Medium Mystic, and Drinking Up Christmas by The Dwarves. This has been an adaptation of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, as produced by DJ Johnny G, and performed by DJ Johnny G and Dynamite Adam White. Special thanks to all the bands that were involved, both performing and playing music, and extra special thanks to CJ Ramone for being our narrator. We'll see you next year, Punk News.
God bless us, everyone.